It's Sunday morning, time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, a time when historically so many people have been in the outdoors hunting, and the Thanksgiving tradition for families that runs back generations in many cases. And obviously this year it's different. We have a very different Thanksgiving in front of us. So the headed to deer camp or headed to duck camp or getting together with families to go pheasant hunting, as happens, and quail hunting across the Midwest, and has happened for a long, long time, is likely not to be taking place as often this year. And that's, I guess, one of the things we're living with in our COVID world, which makes this such a different time. I want to start off talking this morning about what is going on in the transition team of the Biden administration that is certainly has my attention, and I think probably the attention of a lot of people who care about the future of conservation. And you've often heard me talk on the show about the difference between conservation and environmentalism. A conservationist, Theodore Roosevelt, was America's greatest conservationist, probably one of our founding conservationists, if you will. Conservation is the wise use of our natural resources. Environmentalism and conservation used to be a hand-in-hand, they were symbiotic. That is no longer true and has not been true for quite some time now. And we are going to see a really dramatic turn. And this is not a political statement. It's not a partisan statement. It's just a factual statement. We are going to see a dramatic turn away from conservation and towards environmentalism starting January 20th. And to give you a sneak preview of just how dramatic the Fish and Wildlife Service, Department of Interior, Forest Service, Environmental Protection Agency are going to shift. One only needs to look at the advisory teams that the coming Biden administration is putting into place to give you a clue of just how sharply we are going to change. When President Trump was elected in 2016, I said just the opposite. Just the opposite was going to happen. After 8 years of the Obama administration, we had seen conservation be virtually removed from the Fish and Wildlife Service, Department of Interior, Forest Service, Ag, etc. And the people running the show were very much in the environmental world, which is not a active use of our lands, does not favor hunting and fishing, does not really favor land management, is a much more passive, nature takes care of itself. Also a move that much more towards non-consumptive recreation. The National Wildlife Service Refuge Program, which is the backbone of conservation in America, shifted from the National Wildlife Refuge System was largely funded and created to benefit migratory waterfowl, was shifted from that to be much more neotropical birds, non-game birds, and the impacts on management of our National Wildlife Refuge System during the Obama administration were very dramatic. Places in the country, some of which I'm very familiar, went from active management to try to have maximum habitat for migratory waterfowl to no attention to migratory waterfowl, even though that's why these refuges were created to begin with, to being one of managing for shorebirds, neotropical non-game bird species. And there is nothing wrong with that, with the major exception that these refuges and wildlife management areas were created to manage for waterfowl, and that's why they were selected in the locations they are, and the funding for them came from the Federal Duck Stamp Program, etc. So you're going to hear more about this in the coming weeks and months, but we are preparing to go back to a period which was not very good for land management and not very good for the term conservation, but was very good for the term environmentalism. And just a few clues as to what is going to happen here. The advisory team for the Environmental Protection Agency consists of members of groups such as Earth Justice, the Sierra Club, and organizations that are absolutely opposed to hunting. There are a number of individuals on the commission, and not the commission, but the team that the Biden advisory team to help staff the agency that the Biden administration coming in has put together includes someone from the Pennsylvania Democratic Party. There is nobody on the transition team that I can find from the mainstream conservation organizations that one thinks of when it comes to perpetuating the future of hunting and fishing. There are no members of Safari Club International, Ducks Unlimited, Delta Waterfowl, the Rough Grouse Society, and I could go on and on and on. The traditional conservation organizations of scale are not to be found. Instead, we have people from Defenders of Wildlife, Earth Justice, and other organizations that are sworn opponents of hunting and fishing and have done very little to advance habitat, but done a great deal to advance litigation and tying up of efforts that will advance hunting and fishing, open up public lands. And one of the really important trends of the last 4 years, and again, this has nothing to do with politics, this has everything to do with providing access to individuals. One of the most important things to happen over the past 4 years was to mandate that the National Wildlife Refuge System be used where possible to provide public hunting opportunity. It's extremely important this took place. That will be jettisoned so fast your head will spin as we move forward here, as those coming into power, if they are not anti-hunting in many cases, they're neutral on hunting and they are not going to be advocates of hunting. So we are going to see a time coming again that resembles an awful lot like it did from 2008 to 16, which frankly was a nightmare for the future of hunting, access, fishing in America. And I don't say that lightly. When you compare those 8 years to the past 4 years and what was done to provide public opportunity, and also when you look at the legislation with the Land and Water Conservation Fund being fully funded, there were enormous progress being made. And I can only hope, and the reason I'm spending time talking about this morning, is I can only hope that we do not see a complete backtracking on so many of the positive initiatives that have taken place in the last 4 years in the neighborhood of, under the name of conservation, and that we now go back to an environmental movement which has not served the future of land management well, and it will have a big impact on how our national wildlife refuges are managed, how all of our public lands are managed, how our forests are managed, the Forest Service. One of the things the Rough Grouse Society has been so staunch about is making sure that we have timberland management that provides for new growth forests, which is how rough grouse and woodcock in particular are able to survive. We're moving away from that as fast as you can blink to once again a let the trees grow mentality, which is not intensive management, and it'll have a big impact on the future of grouse and woodcock populations. Not that everyone cares about that, but a lot of people do. It's more endemic of an entire system that's going to shift away from active management. And one only needs to look at the lists of people, the names and the lists of people who are advising the Biden administration across the board, from agriculture to interior to Forest Service to BLM, to see that indeed it's an entirely different group and mindset than we've seen in the last 4 years. I'll be back with more on the Great Outdoors Show when I come back. And when I do, I'm going to talk about the delisting of the gray wolf from the Endangered Species Act and what that's causing, and also a bit of a discussion on the Tongass National Forest and what is going on there, which is kind of, again, indicates of where we're headed for in the coming years. I thank you so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, WGN 720. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and moving from the transition teams comprising the individuals who are advising the incoming administration on a whole host of issues in the area of wildlife and fisheries management, I'm going to talk about something that is really stirring up controversy: wolves coming off the endangered species list. Gray wolves, which were one of the first animals to be put under the Endangered Species Act after they were all but exterminated from the lower 48 states, will no longer receive federal protection. It was announced by the Fish and Wildlife Service. After more than 45 years as a listed species, the gray wolf has exceeded all conservation goals for recovery and should be removed from the endangered species list to be managed by the states, in a statement issued by the Secretary of Interior, who is now the outgoing Secretary of Interior, David Bernhardt. Coming back to what I talked about a moment ago, the conservation groups, those who believe in the management of our natural resources, by and large, think this is a good decision and long overdue. The environmental groups are absolutely incensed that Secretary Bernhardt has done this, and they have condemned the decision, quote-unquote, as dangerously premature, and vowed to take the Fish and Wildlife Service to court to stop the Fish and Wildlife Service from being able to take them off the endangered species list. Jamie Rappaport Clark, who is president and chief executive officer of the Defenders of Wildlife, ironically, also used to be director of the Fish and Wildlife Service. Defenders of Wildlife is not a pro-hunting organization. It is an anti-hunting organization that litigates extensively to take away hunting rights, and has for a long time. So you have the former head of the Fish and Wildlife Service, whose job it is to protect and enhance the future of hunting and fishing in America, running an organization that is not supportive, by and large, of hunting. And she said, wolves occupy just a fraction of the formal range. There's so much work that needs to be done. They need to remain on the endangered species list. So we'll see what happens. I guarantee, as sure as I'm talking to you this morning, this is going to court, as all these do. And as I've talked often on the air about the issue of, we cannot manage wildlife and fisheries populations through litigation. We have to let the professionals in the field, those who have spent their lives learning about species, learning about systems of ecology and how nature works, they're paid to make these decisions and make these calls. Judges are not. And if we just allowed wildlife professionals across America to manage wildlife and fisheries professionals to manage fisheries, we would be a lot better off. But instead, when they decide that something shouldn't be on the endangered species list, or they decide there should be some kind of change in their management, they get sued. And they get sued by groups like Defenders of Wildlife, who will tie this up in court, and therefore, whatever the outcome, it'll be years down the road before either the gray wolf is indeed delisted and managed by the states as it's supposed to be, or if some judge in the federal court says, no, I don't think they should be delisted. A judge who has no background in wildlife management or habitat management. So we are headed once again to a period of really significant litigation, as opposed to letting wildlife professionals manage. So moving from that very quickly, I want to talk about what's going on in the Pongus National Forest, a large part of which is up in southeast Alaska. The Trump administration, through the Secretary of Agriculture, has stated that the Tongass National Forest be exempt from the 2001 Roadless Conservation Area rule so that there can be development of timber management. This is a pretty controversial issue, and I think in the early days of the Biden administration, this will be reversed, and the Tongass National Forest will once again be put on the roadless list. It is an important area for many species of spawning salmon. It's a very large area in southeast Alaska. It is an area where it's entirely inaccessible, but there is a real concern that opening it up for logging will harm some of the really important streams and rivers that are used by spawning salmon. I would offer that once again, we're looking, probably there's a middle road here. The reason the Trump administration just prior to the election took this decision is they want to make it as hard as possible for, if the administration changed, for them to undo this ruling. I think it's a clear example of politics where there's a middle ground. There should definitely be timber activity in the Tongass National Forest, as our forests need to be managed, but probably not the wholesale opening of it and removing the roadless rule that was put in place in 2001. So we'll see more on that, but it's, again, an example of how quickly things are changing in Washington, D.C., as we realize that we have a new administration and very different policies. The gray wolf will be litigated. The Tongass National Forest will probably be changed. We'll have more on this in the coming weeks and coming months, as there are hundreds of millions, actually billions of dollars that are going to be reallocated. And the question is, are they going to be reallocated in a way that's good for those of us who love the outdoors? I hope so. Most of all, I hope you all have a great Thanksgiving week. Great Thanksgiving, and that for those of you who can and have the tradition of going into the field and into the forest with your family for Thanksgiving for generations, I hope you can do that even in this time of COVID. Thanks so much for listening. Happy Thanksgiving, and have a safe week in the outdoors. This is Charlie Potter in the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.